when you first think about it, there doesn't seem to be much of a relationship or a connection between the first reading and the gospel reading. But if you remember that the story of the prodigal son in the gospel is really a story about God our Father. You know, the Father in that story really is representing our God. And then when you come to that celebration, it's an image of God celebrating when one who has been lost returns. If you go earlier in the chapter 15, which is what this is from chapter 15 of Luke, if you just go a little bit earlier in that chapter, you have the story of the shepherd with the 100 sheep, lost one. And then you have the story of the widow who lost a coin. And in both of those stories, it ends, there is more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 who have no need of repentance. And so the story that we've just heard is kind of continuing that, but it talks about the celebration, the feasting that God does when we return to Him. And that's really the connection between those readings, because the first reading is about the celebration of the Jewish people, the Israelites, when they finally finish their long journey out of slavery in Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And they come now to the promised land and they celebrate because what God has promised them has finally come to fruition. In the gospel reading, it's important to realize that this story is told explicitly to the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones that have been complaining that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors. And Jesus, knowing that, tells them this story. And you know, the story would have been a shocking story for them. First of all, the boldness of that youngest son. You know, in effect, what he was really saying to his father is, "Dad, I've been waiting for you to die. And since you won't do it, just give me what's coming to me. I'm tired of waiting for you to die." That would have shocked them. But then the other thing there is, it implied in that story that eventually he sells his part of the inheritance, which in that time and culture would have been a family inheritance that had been passed down for generations. And it would have been his duty as one who inherited that family inheritance to preserve it for the next generation. And yet, he sells it. He sells it so he can party. Another shocking thing would have been his going to pagan territory and living a very sinful lifestyle. You know, the fact that he would have gone to the non-Jew, gone to the Gentiles, and then he gets reduced to the fact that he was having to feed pigs. You know, for the Jew, that was the lowest thing that could happen to you. The swine for them was unclean animals, and they wanted nothing to do with them. And so his going to feed them was symbolic of how low he had gone. And even his return to his father, you don't know it's because he really was sorry or because he was hungry. It's not quite clear. But probably the other thing that would have been very shocking about that story was the exuberance of the father. You know, an average Jewish man at that time would have disowned that son. But no, the father rejoices that his son is back. And that would have shocked the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, that youngest son represents the tax collectors and the sinners. Jesus was telling that story precisely to symbolize them. The oldest son symbolizes the scribes and the Pharisees. Because in many ways, they were like that oldest son. They couldn't rejoice over the conversion of sinners. Instead, they put themselves above them and they condemned them and criticized them. You know, think of the story in the gospel about the two men who go into the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And that Pharisee says, "I thank you, God, I'm not like the rest of men. I'm not even like this tax collector." And he points out all the good things he does. The tax collector simply says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Those scribes and Pharisees are like that oldest son. Then the father, that celebration, is like our Heavenly Father. When he celebrates, when you and I repent, when we turn away from our sins and we turn our hearts back to him, God rejoices. And that's the message Jesus wanted to get across. It wasn't a message that God condemns, finds faults, and says, "You've been too wicked. There's no way I'm going to forgive you." No. It is a God who rejoices when one of his children returns to him. And of course, how hopeful that is for us. No matter where we've been, what we've done, how much we have sinned, if we turn back to God, God is merciful, and he rejoices at our repentance. It's a strong message for us. First of all, the message of God's love, God's mercy. But it also asks us to examine our own lives. Which of those two sons am I most like? Am I like the younger son who neglects God's commandments and says, "I'll do it my way"? Or then there's some of us are like the older son. Oh, we've been pretty obedient. We've been pretty faithful to keeping God's law, but not have done it with love. Have done it begrudgingly, resenting the fact that we have to be good. Neither son really loved the father. The first son had no love for the father, he just wanted to get out of there. The second son really didn't love the father, but he wanted his inheritance too, only he was going to wait. Do you and I love God? Do we obey God's law because we're grateful to God for his love for us? Or do we do it begrudgingly? Do we do it out of fear that if we don't do it, we'll be eternally punished? God wants us to do it because we are loved and we love him in return. You know, sometimes it's hard to find that love within our hearts. And there's a line in that second reading that I think is important to hang on to. St. Paul says, "You who are in Christ are new creation. The old order has passed away." You know, we need to remember that we have been baptized and reborn into Christ Jesus. And he will put that love in our hearts if we only beg him for it. We don't have to live feeling estranged from God or begrudging God's law. Jesus wants to empower us with the gift of his love. He wants to dwell in our hearts and to give us the power, to give us the strength to be faithful sons and daughters of God.